Punjabi Hari Gopi Janna Balapa Giribada Dari Jai Radha Madhava Punjabi Hari Gopi Janna Balapa Hare Krishna, welcome to Sunday Feast in this nice, hot, muggy summer day. I was actually traveling up north a couple weeks ago, and I noticed that a lot of people are traveling. It looks like by the attendance today, a lot of people are vacationing on their way somewhere. Usually for relief, to get out of the heat, number one, or maybe to join with the family, or maybe to some adventure. I know my daughter right now is in Japan, if you need some adventure, or just to get out of the humdrum of your regular routine. So this traveling is very common. But on a bigger scale, on a broader scale, we find that the conditioned soul, the soul that is now embodied in here in the material world, suffering humidity and heat and so many other different things, that they get tired after a while. They get pinched. They get weathered by so many different things, like the weather, but also fear of death, and also just the being dragged around by your senses, always hankering, always lamenting, finding that you're really never satisfied in life. And so those souls will begin to think, I think I'd like to travel out of here and actually go on a spiritual journey. open up a spiritual window, find out a little bit about my real self, to experience some absolute pleasure and understand some absolute truth. So there are those, unfortunately, that are convinced that this material world is just a nice place, and sooner or later it's going to get better. And then they work, and they work, and they hope it'll get better. And then they accumulate so much karma and so many things, but really never satisfied. But they are paying for a ticket through this activity, through karma. They're paying for a ticket that is marked destination unknown. Can you imagine getting I give you a free ticket, but you don't know where it's going? Pretty scary. And so for the materialist, the conditioned soul, it can be very scary. But there are those that sometimes want to escape. They might escape through intoxication. Or women. What do they do when they want to escape? They go shopping. Right? It can be pretty expensive, as long as it's not your own money. I guess it's all right. But I've actually heard that this is a way that women get rid of anxiety. Is it's just to go shop, buy yourself something. Right? And some people search into some kind of meditation for some peace of mind. But even this is sometimes not satisfying because they also don't know the destination. What is the ultimate goal of all this meditation? What am I meditating on? And where will this actually take me? So we have a verse today that will explain a little bit about the fortunate soul and about their travel plans. So this is in Bhagavad Gita, which is a song, instructions by Sri Krishna helping us to attain the Supreme. That's the chapter's name. And this is text 15. Mam upecha punarjanma vikalayam shashvatam latnivanti mahatmana samsidim pramam gataha. After attaining me, the great souls, who are yogis in devotion, never return to this temporary world, which is full of miseries, because they have attained the highest perfection. Purport. Since this temporary material world is full of the miseries of birth, old age, disease, and death, naturally, he who achieves the highest perfection and attains the supreme planet, Krishna Loka, Goloka Vrindavan, does not wish to return. The supreme planet is described in Vedic literature as avyakta and akshara and param gati. In other words, that planet is beyond our material vision and it is inexplicable. But it is the highest goal, the destination for the Mahatmas, great souls. The Mahatmas receive transcendental messages from the realized devotees and thus gradually develop devotional service in Krishna consciousness and become so absorbed in transcendental service that they no longer desire elevation to any of the material planets, nor do they even want to be transferred to any spiritual planet. They only want Krishna and Krishna's association and nothing else. That is the highest perfection of life. This verse specifically mentions the personalist devotees of the Supreme Lord Krishna. These devotees in Krishna consciousness achieve the highest perfection of life. In other words, they are the supreme souls. Maybe all can repeat. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo
Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So here's describing in detail of the great souls, those that are very fortunate, that they do know the goal in this life. They do know what ticket they want. They know that they're not satisfied here being in misery all the time. Not just this life, but from many, many lifetimes. They're burned out, as you say. That they want a supreme destination. Goloka Vrindavan, or the planet where the Supreme Lord resides and where we're actually from. But we've been missing in action for a long time. So this is very fortunate that one can receive a proper ticket, an eternal ticket. Now, when you go to a travel bureau, you have to be very careful that you get a really legitimate one. And so this is like going to the spiritual master, finding a proper travel agent that can issue the proper ticket to the proper place. So the spiritual master is actually representing Krishna. And Krishna is so anxious for us to come home that he sends his personal representative, the spiritual master, to deliver that ticket to us that allows us to go back home. So it's very important that we ask the spiritual master, please sign me up as a passenger, that I really want to get on board. I'm tired of this material world. And he's so kind that if you're very serious, that he'll actually initiate you into this bhakti process. He'll actually present that ticket to you. And then it's a promise. It's a promise that he will, that plane will get you there and that you will be a good passenger. So this is the first part of our journey back to the spiritual world, back to Godhead. Does anyone know the cost of this ticket? Lord Nityananda says? Faith. Faith and eagerness, yes. So this is the only cost. We just have to have faith in this process that we will get to the ultimate goal. And so this faith comes from hearing from the spiritual master properly, hearing from the spiritual master's instructions and from the scripture. So it's very important that we listen attentively. And then Lord Chaitanya makes it available to everyone. He doesn't discriminate. There's just an economy flight. Everyone qualifies. Doesn't matter who you are. Everyone gets the same seat. Everyone can take part. There's no limitations. So it's very easy. Lord Chaitanya is the one that delivered this process. This process of chanting is very affordable. Doesn't cost anything, right? You can sing and dance all day. We're not going to ask you for a penny. We're just going to ask you to have faith in hearing this mantra that it will go very deep inside and revive your Krishna consciousness. It will help you contact Krishna so you can experience that pleasure that you've heard about, that you know about. So when I was in my flight, of course, there were many delays, and I noticed that the crew also had to wait for about an hour or two with us. And I was looking at the crew thinking that this is actually pretty good-looking, qualified crew, very reliable. And actually, this crew is the spiritual master, both your formal initiating spiritual master and then your instructing spiritual masters. And it's also the Shastra, the teachers of the books. These are also going to be great service in your flight back to the Supreme Lord. So we have to take advantage of those. And then, of course, the sadhus, all the other great souls that are also wanting to go back home and willing to help. So then it's described that this ticket is very unique because it's a ticket that people have bought, but they've never come back. And they can't tell you what it's like. They can't tell you, exactly what happened. But so some people might be a little skeptical. Well, you're telling me that there's a spiritual world and I could go there, but I don't know. No one's come back to tell me about it. Although the Supreme Lord and the spiritual master, who are self-realized, can tell you that it's absolute, it's perfect, and what it's like also. But someone might still be skeptical. Therefore, we have the Vedas. The Vedas describe everything. It's the best tourist brochure. It tells you everything about the spiritual world. Here it's describing Goloka Vrindavan, where Krishna is there. And it details of what Krishna looked like, what he does all day. And here we have the greatest proof that, of course, the Supreme Lord is enjoying like anything. Here he is covered in flowers today, totally from head to toe. So beautiful. We can also find out how we got here in the material world, how we can get back, how to become qualified. So the Vedic literature will get rid of all these doubts that we might have, and so that there's no fear and taking to the spiritual life. And so I know that when I go traveling, I was raised by my mother. One thing she taught me that was really good was that before we would go on our trip, we would always clean our house so that we came back to a completely clean house, right? I don't know if you all do that, but I do that. I clean the refrigerator, everything, especially if you're gone for a long time. So in the same way, before we leave in the spiritual, go to the spiritual life, we have to clean our heart. We have to clean our, get rid of our habits, bad habits. We have to throw away all of our narthers, all of our junk that we've accumulated, and so that we can have a complete pure consciousness. So this is feels good. It feels good within yourself, and you realize that I can actually leave here without any attachments, and I can become now attached to Krishna. And there's no packing necessary. You don't have to pack in a thing with you. Actually, nothing's allowed on board. Pretty much these days, nothing really, you can't take anything with you anyway, except a little teeny carry-on. The only carry-on you're allowed in the spiritual journey is your enthusiasm and your determination. Besides that, forget it, you can't take anything else with you. They check you in and out. Although the subtle things like your false ego might still be there, but we'll get rid of that eventually. So then, of course, when you arrive at the airport, first thing they ask is, show me your ID, right? And then somehow or other, when you go from where you showed your ID one time, you walk down a hallway where there's just walls on each side, they ask you for your ID again, like what could have happened in that little length of time. And then they ask you again when you get in another line, then they ask you again for your ID. And so this is what I compare to, like, all our different lifetimes. We've had so many identifications, you know, identities, you know, and they're wanting to make sure that you get rid of all these identities. You're no longer so-and-so from last lifetime. And even this lifetime, you're not your karmic name. Even your spiritual name, your identity is spiritual, you're not that name. You're the spirit soul. So they want to check for sure that you understand that you're not this body, you're just the spirit soul, and that you're free to go. You're free to get out of this material consciousness. And so the delays, that is a time before you really take off, is when your mind is a little bit turbulent, and you might be thinking, oh, I don't know about the spiritual life. Maybe I have a few things on my bucket list. Maybe I shouldn't go. Maybe I should stay here. Peer pressure, so many things. And this is Maya, the illusory energy attacking you and just making a challenge, testing you to make sure that you're ready to go back to Krishna, and that there's really nothing left here for you. And then finally, of course, you can board the plane, and after you said all your goodbyes. And I don't know about you, but after going through all the rigmarole and parking your car and all this and all the ID stuff, when you sit in the seat, finally you go, ah, now I'm in the seat. Nothing else can happen wrong. I'm ready to go, right? So this is like in the Nectar of Devotion, it's described that the symptoms of a pure soul who's engaging in devotional service in bhakti and serving Krishna, that immediately they get relief from the material pleasure. Now there's not going to be another distraction, so that everyone else on board is on the same mental platform. We're all trying to finish up our business and go back to the spiritual world. So this is a great relief, which is showing the potency of devotional service and giving you a taste of something that you've been looking for a very long time. When I left that morning, it was quite cloudy out, but there was like breakage. I could see through the clouds and I could see the blue sky. And so the soul that has that faith will understand, yes, it might be a little rough getting out of the material world, but the turbulences, they will go away and will actually have smooth sailing. And we find that when we do take off, that chanting japa and kirtan and prasadam, all these different activities in devotional service, make it so pleasant. This isn't a difficult process, really. I mean, people come here, and we all have a great time together. There seems like a festival every week, Mukhya, just about? Seems like it. Yeah, especially this summer. So many festivals. It's very pleasant. So when I was on my first trip to India, it was 1975, and there was like 200 devotees, and we all got on the same plane. And we were enjoying, chanting and everything, and enjoying it so much we had Mangal Aarti. There was hardly any non-devotees on there. We all stood up, and we all ended up dancing. And then all of a sudden the captain comes out and goes, "Wait a minute, you're rocking the plane. I can't do this." And we all had to sit down. So it can be so pleasant that you want to dance and have a great time in Krishna consciousness, especially the chanting. So there's entertainment on board. There's thousands of pastimes of Krishna you can absorb yourself in. So many different literatures that explain the beautiful philosophy, the deep philosophy of Krishna consciousness. So it's actually it's a pleasant experience, devotional service. And of course, if your reception is really good up there, then it's even better. And so there's a nice thing I read this morning on my little Krishna conscious calendar about chanting. Hare Krishna. About the process of chanting, how important it is to be very attentive and to chant properly. So this is what it says. It says, chanting involves the activities of the upper and lower lips as well as the tongue. All three must be engaged in chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. The words of Hare Krishna should be very distinctly pronounced and heard. So if you really want to make quick advancement, then we work on our chanting. We try to really listen and chant properly, and also try to get rid of all the offenses that are there in the chanting and in our service. So then, on board, if one is very attentive and chanting very nicely, then at some point, one will become perfect in the Krishna consciousness, and your material body will go away. And it's described that the person who's very Krishna conscious will not even realize that they've left their body. They actually are now just totally absorbed in spiritual life. And so this is very different for non-devotees. When a non-devotee leaves their body, it's quite frightening. But for the devotee, it can be a whole different experience. It's described very similar to the position of the rat that's in the cat's mouth. It's thinking, uh-oh, I'm going to be in the next meal, right? And then, but the kitten that's being carried by the mother cat is thinking, oh, I'm getting a nice ride here and there. So the devotee is thinking that the jaws of death are actually, it's Krishna bringing me back home, back to the spiritual world. So then on arrival to the spiritual world, we have nothing to declare except Hari Bol, I'm here. And we can go through the green lane, and Krishna is there to greet us. And this is, of course, the perfection of our life. And so this is what we owe our spirit soul. Some people think, oh, I've worked so hard all year, I need a vacation. I owe it to myself. But we owe it to our soul that's been left in this dark place for so long to get it out of here and to take it back to Krishna. So then we can be released from all the darkness that's here in the material world. There is so much hate. There's so much ugly selfishness, so much in this material world that it makes it very miserable to live here. There's three kleshas. Anybody want to help me with what they are? What are the three miseries in this material world? Generalize. Okay, what is it? Say it in English. Yes, our body and our mind are a big problem, right? Everyone can agree? Yeah. What's another one? Adi-daivik are the natural disturbances that are going on all over the world, volcanoes or earthquakes, whatever, rain, heat, drought, all those things. And then there's also the other bodies of other living entities that can give us so much trouble, like hate and like envy and greed. So these things are always bothering us, but we can release ourselves from those. And smooth sailing into beautiful skies of a place where there are none of these qualities, that we actually can experience loving reciprocation with our Lord. And this is, of course, a place called Vaikuntha. It's a place where there's no anxiety. We don't have to go shopping. Everything is provided for us there. We don't have to be released from this misery. So we should make plans for our eternal vacation. That might mean that we have to put some of our other plans aside, which might be a little disturbing. We have so many plans in this lifetime. We had plans on bringing our cow out today, but now I'm sure everything is soaking wet. So we have so many plans, but Krishna's in control. But we should make our plans for this eternal vacation and consider it our ultimate trip, and that we have the blessings of our spiritual master and from Krishna that we can come back home. And there's this very special on this airline, on this Bhakti Marga, this devotional path, is that if you become so qualified, so devoted, that you can give a companion ticket to others. You've heard of it, like if you buy a ticket, you can actually give a ticket to somebody else and they go for free. So if you become very qualified, you can actually take others with you. There's a nice story of Dhruva Maharaj. He was a saintly boy who achieved perfection in his life and got special mercy by the Supreme Lord. So much so that at the time of death, that he was sent an airplane driven by Krishna's personal servants, Sunanda and Nanda. And when he arrived there, he said, oh, it's time to go back to Krishna, but what about my mother? She helped me on this process. What about her? Can she come back? They said, she's already on a plane. She's already coming back. It's already taken care of. So this is what we can do. We can actually bring others back with us. And upon leaving, Dhruva Maharaj said this nice little... He had this nice realization. He said, he didn't say this, this is what actually happened to Prabhupada. When attempting to get on the transcendental plane, he saw death personified approach him. Not caring for death, he took advantage of the opportunity to put his feet on the head of death. Thus he got up on the airplane, which was as big as a house. So this is a little nice description that this airplane being sent by Krishna is big as a house, so there's plenty of room. We can give companion tickets to many people and take many, many people back with us. In this lifetime, we have an opportunity to surrender completely and to receive this ticket by our Supreme Master. That means we have to finish up our business here. It might take this lifetime. Hopefully it won't take more. But we have the best process. Only by devotional service can we actually purge ourselves of all these bad habits and attachments that are keeping us here. They're keeping us convinced that there's something going to get better here. It's going to get better. But no. We have the knowledge. We can understand that the only thing that will make things better is taking up this chanting process very seriously. And the hearing process very seriously. And thank our spiritual master for all this mercy. So maybe someone has some questions or would like to contribute. I saw Ragatmaka back there. You're going to have to speak pretty loudly. The rain's pretty loud.
I didn't understand your example of the companion ticket. I never heard of that relating to the airlines. And then how is it applied to our Krishna consciousness, taking a companion?
Well, you've heard that if you become a pure devotee, you actually can take your relatives back in future lifetimes.
Yeah. Right.
And then there's also the not quite so direct comparison that if we become pure devotees, we actually can touch other people and give them this process and give them the taste of Krishna consciousness. We can let them achieve the same result. But if one becomes Krishna conscious, then it's described that seven generations above and below in your family can become liberated. So it's a good deal. Even if they're not qualified, they get a lot of mercy. So Somebody else had a question around here. Here, hang. Think of Srila Prabhupada. He came, he flew all the way, I mean, he rode on a boat, came here, and he delivered Lord Chaitanya's process to everybody. And we're all able to live in the house that he built and all go back home together. Yes.
This is, I want to make a reference to, I mean, because you didn't say nothing about this, but, you know, the verse, after attaining me, the great soul who is the yogi in devotion never returns to this temporary world. To go back to the spiritual world, do you have to transcend the three modes of ignorance, passion, and goodness to like when you drop your body, do you have to be in that transcendental state or liberation, I think it's called? I mean, do you have to be in that state in order to go back to...
if you are in a transcendental consciousness, that means you've transcended all the modes of material nature. You've actually already achieved that. Your transcendental is different than the modes of material nature. It's above.
So what if you only, like in this life, you only reach the mode of goodness? Do you still have to take another body or take another birth?
It will give you a better birth. It also, if you're in the mode of goodness, it'll give you an opportunity to jump on the plane if it comes by. You'll be more likely to take it. So it's a good thing. Prabhupada encouraged people to take up the mode of goodness. It gets you ready for the next stage.
Take up the mode of what?
Goodness. Encouraged to take up the mode of goodness. And then gradually you'll raise up to the mode, the transcendental mode. It's described like a lotus flower. We now have our lotus flowers in our pond back here, and I've been watching them, and they're just such a far out flowers. You can't go back there now, but it just, you know, it's way above the water. I knew it would happen. It comes muddy stuff I put in the pond. Now it's way up here, and it just opens up, and it's such a beautiful, soft, gorgeous flower. Such a gorgeous color, too. And there's more and more coming. And then it closes when the clouds come, and then it opens up and closes. I don't know, the rain might beat it to death today, but it's above. It doesn't matter what's underneath. So, if we can become transcendental, then we're not affected by all these modes. So, anybody else want to add anything? Okay. I'm not sure how we're going to distribute the feast. Okay, well, I'm going to read the next verse because it also explains a little bit more about the material planets and spiritual planets. It says, from the highest planet in the material world down to the lowest, all are places of misery, wherein repeated birth and death take place. But one who attains to my abode, O son of Kunti, never takes birth again. So when you're on the plane, you actually, when you get to this spiritual world, you can look down on the material world. And see that I'm never going to go there again. So when you become totally transcendental, it's for sure that you'll never come back again. So this is the safest position for us. Many other processes will promise you maybe elevation to a higher planet. And there are seven planets above us, which are more heavenly. There's even subterranean planets that are fantastic. But they're all places of misery, or else they'll end up putting you back into the, making you parachute out of the plane too soon and blooping, as we say, blooping back into the material world. So it's best not to even think of wanting to come back to the material planets. Although they promise you that it'll be heavenly. But what happens is you get so absorbed in the heavenly pleasures again that you end up increasing those desires and having to come back again. And even the Vaikuntha planets, the ones that are spiritual, they're also free from anxiety. But the greatest planet, of course, is Krishna Loka. And once you get there, you never come back. So every planet, from the highest to the lowest, there's repeated birth and death in the material world. So if we really want to get out of that process, we have to do something about it. We have to decide that in this lifetime, we're not going to make any other plans except somehow or other to achieve Krishna consciousness, no matter what it takes. And it does take some work. It's not that that you can just think that you're going to get a complimentary ticket. You actually have to increase that faith and enthusiasm. That means that you can't be lazy. Laziness is actually the most deadly thing I see. That as soon as you become lazy, even materially and spiritually, you lose that push, that enthusiasm, that goal. The goal is farther and farther away as you become lazy. So in spiritual life, it's very serious that you don't become lazy, that you don't miss a beat, that you don't miss the instructions of your spiritual master. You get up early and you chant your rounds, and you chant properly. And every day is another opportunity to do, like I read, to chant distinctly, hearing each word, not just a big slur, but actually hearing every word. So this is something that we have to take very seriously. And then if we're not lazy, then we can get that mercy, yeah, and we can get on that plane. So there's a little bit of a lull. If you all want to run across now to the thing, I'll let you go. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Glory to God.